Brandeis University has revised its policy on sexual misconduct after a contentious sexual assault case that the federal government is now investigating. Brandeis is one of 79 colleges and universities being investigated under Title IX for alleged violations of students' civil rights in sexual assault cases. WBUR's Fred Tice reports on the complexities of the Brandeis case, which reveal how difficult it can be for colleges and universities to handle allegations of sexual violence.
This case is different from other federal investigations of universities because the complaint was filed by the student accused of sexual misconduct. The student was accused in January. Dean Gendron, Brandeis University's Director of Student Rights and Community Standards, received a complaint from a junior that he had been sexually assaulted by his ex-boyfriend. It was an unusual case for the university. It involved two men in a relationship. Andrew Flagel is Senior Vice President for Students and Enrollment at Brandeis. He explains that at Brandeis, an outside attorney conducts investigations of sexual assault.
The special examiners essentially are usually individuals who we hire externally, and they are generally individuals with pretty deep experience in conducting these investigations and examinations. And they come in and actually conduct the process of investigating the reported sexual assault and then make a recommendation.
Flagel and others at Brandeis could not comment on this or any other individual case. Brandeis chose attorney Elizabeth Sangavi, formerly with the Office of Civil Rights at the U.S. Department of Education, to investigate this case. WBUR does not reveal the names of victims of sexual assault without their consent. In this case, the student who says he was the victim did agree to be identified. But because the student he accused has not been charged with a crime, we decided to withhold the names of both men. So we'll call the student who first filed a complaint with Brandeis the junior, and we'll call the man he accused the ex-boyfriend. The junior says Sangavi, the special examiner, conducted many interviews with him, each lasting anywhere from 40 minutes to 2 hours. He says Sangavi did not record any of the interviews, but took extensive notes. According to a dean's summary of Sangavi's findings, she interviewed 8 witnesses besides the junior and his former boyfriend. The junior was impressed with her.
I thought she was very professional, very sensitive, and also very thorough. I mean, while the thoroughness at times was like kind of excruciatingly painful detail we had to go into.
Following federal guidelines, the special examiner used the same standard used in civil lawsuits to find whether any wrongdoing had occurred. That standard is preponderance of evidence, meaning it's more likely than not that the wrongdoing occurred. And she found that the ex-boyfriend caused physical harm, committed sexual misconduct, and acted without consent. Brandeis allows students to appeal, and in his written appeal, the ex-boyfriend argued that the special examiner had viewed events in isolation rather than over the course of a relationship. For example, he said, the special examiner did not consider that the junior had invited sexual advances. Normally, the dean of students decides what sanctions to impose. But because that dean had many contacts with the ex-boyfriend, a dean who did not know either man was appointed to the case. She was new to Brandeis. She'd come from Harvard, where, as a resident dean, she had served on the board that handles sexual misconduct. Based on the findings of the special examiner, the ex-boyfriend was issued a disciplinary warning. Such a warning does not go on his transcript, though most law schools and medical schools do ask Brandeis for information about students' conduct. He was also ordered to complete a program on sexual assault prevention. Universities are charged by federal law with protecting students from sexual assault. Brandeis Senior Vice President Andrew Flagel told the junior in an email that at no point was there a finding that his ex-boyfriend was a danger to other Brandeis students.
One of the reasons they may not see him as a danger is because he's a gay man, and they might not think, oh, a gay guy isn't really a danger to anybody. None of them have said that to me, but that's kind of the feeling I get.
There are indications gay students are actually more likely to be victims of sexual assault than heterosexual students. Emily Rothman teaches courses on preventing sexual violence and preventing violence between intimate partners at Boston University. In 2001, she studied first-year students at a Boston-area college.
We found that the prevalence of sexual assault among students who were gay or bisexual or lesbian was roughly twice that of those who reported that they were heterosexual.
Last fall, the American College Health Association National College Health Assessment found 1.2% of men at Brandeis reported being raped, slightly more than the national average of 0.7%. 2.8% of Brandeis students reported being in a sexually abusive relationship, again, slightly more than the national average of 1.7%. Now, the federal government is investigating the ex-boyfriend's claim that he was the victim of sexual violence by the junior, and the university did not investigate his claims. The ex-boyfriend says Brandeis also discriminated against him in several ways as he responded to claims he'd sexually assaulted the junior, including not giving him an opportunity to meet with university officials before the university brought formal charges against him. He says Brandeis allowed the junior to have an attorney present at one meeting, but he was never allowed to have his own attorney present. This week, Brandeis issued a new policy on sexual misconduct. Among other things, it specifically states that accuser and accused must have the opportunity to have others present for any and all proceedings. Sexual assault is taking up an increasing amount of the time of university administrators across the country. Senior Vice President Andrew Flagel says it's no different at Brandeis.
The wider issue of sexual assault prevention and services is probably occupying somewhere between 25 and 30% of my time.
In response to the federal investigation, Brandeis issued a statement. It begins by saying, we have an utmost commitment to ensuring the safety of our students. Brandeis President Fred Lawrence recently reiterated that commitment when confronted with student protesters at an event in front of the university's Rose Art Museum. Hundreds of people were waiting for the lighting of a sculpture, Chris Burden's Light of Reason. The students filed out to one side of the ceremony, many with mouths taped, some carrying signs, such as, there is no reason in sexual assault. Lawrence approached them and told them he did not want them to feel that sexual assault is not a concern at Brandeis. He told them Brandeis has put a lot of effort into addressing the problem and promised to put more effort into it. Lawrence thanked the students for being there. Over the past 2 years, 9 Brandeis students have been accused of violating the university's rules on what it calls sexual responsibility. In the 6 concluded cases, 2 students were expelled, 2 students were suspended, 1 was placed on probation, and in one case, the case of the junior and his ex-boyfriend, the student was given a warning. Brandeis is already implementing what are seen as some best practices in the prevention of sexual assault. It has a sexual assault prevention director, and this fall, it will open a rape crisis center. It trains its faculty and students to intervene to prevent sexual assault. But as the case of the junior and his ex-boyfriend illustrates, it's very hard for universities to get this issue right, perhaps impossible to satisfy accuser and accused that justice is being served. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Fred Tice.